The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Hey, everybody. This is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. Week 3 of training camp is in the books, and that includes the only joint practices of the season. We had our first preseason game. We'll share our takeaways from that. I'll share a story that might give Lions fans hope, and we're going to discuss multiple other major events taking place this week. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Joining me today are our regulars, James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. I believe they're getting ready to start that back up as football season is approaching. It does drop on Mondays. As always, good to have you here, James.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
And it's nice to have you back from vacation. I hope you enjoyed that time off and you're ready to get back to it.
Yeah, I always do this like right before football season gets going again, so that kind of recharge the batteries and get going again for that.
Awesome. Well, good to have you back. And again, we are with Coach Jerry Angers. He's named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Coach, great to have you here, man.
Oh, great to be here. And also great to be here with the guy who nominated me for the Coach of the Year. Nothing better talking football than James.
Folks, do you see how full circle life can be? You just never know. It's amazing to have a perfect example of it right here.
Yes.
Well, guys, let's go through things chronologically. Let's back up a little bit to the joint practices from last week. They're the only ones of the season for the Lions. Last year, they had two of them. Coach, we were at the Giants one with the Lions last year. A little bit more scuffles this year than what we saw last year. Coach, what do you attribute that to?
Well, I think it's you know, coming out, you're going against each other, you're going against your teammates, you're going against the guys you share a locker room with. And, you know, you're going to go to a new place, and they're going to try to establish, you know, the Lions are predicted to be this great football team. Lions predicted to possibly go to the Super Bowl, their top four teams. The Giants didn't have a great year last year. So, you know, they're going to come out and try to prove that they belong on the same team as the Detroit Lions. And so I think that's what a lot happens, and you know, how hot, and, you know, after so many days of practice and practice and practice, and you know, you get into that, and eventually you know, people are going to get hot. You know, there's a lot of tracks talking, dudes slapping guys in the back of the head, telling them that it was a tap, whatever. But you know, that's how it turned out, and you know, everybody got through it without any major injuries, we hope.
Yeah, that is the case, and I like that. And I think I'm pretty sure this Daniel Jones quote is appropriate or accurate. And I think he said something like, they might come in here better than us, but we're going to fight just as hard, or something like that. And I don't know how many people would like to admit that the other team's better than them in practice before the season starts, but there are realities of situations too. But that being said, you hit the nail on the head. It's great to get practice against another team. Coach, in one of our previous episodes, we talked about how the next 5 to 10 days were going to be some of the most important days for Lions players to see growth between the joint practices and the preseason game. James, did you hear anything coming out of joint practices? I know you were away a little bit. Did you hear anything, read anything on that, that kind of caught your eye or caught your ear?
I think it was the Kayvon Thibodeau quote about Penei Sewell embarrassing us, which was kind of caught my eye, but they were teammates at Oregon. So maybe he's just complimenting his former teammate or something like that. But that was a pretty great one to see.
Nice. And Coach, how about you? Any thoughts, any takeaways from the joint practice? Anything you heard that stuck out that maybe either excited you or caused you like, hey, need to refocus?
Well, no, one of the things you're reading about how well their receiver, the rookie did against us, you know, but those are joint practices. Nobody's scheming against anybody. You know, I can remember times when we went, I talk about Tony Anise when he's at Muskegon. He would call me up and say, hey, can you run this situation in defense? Can you do this? And hey, I would need a blitz. I got to know if my guy can block or can my guy run the hole. I mean, you do that as coaches. You kind of set up to see how the players are going to adjust in certain situations. So, you know, with a grain of thought, salt, I guess, you know, I'm not concerned with it, but we got through it and it's over with and it's time to move on.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, speaking of moving on, let's go to the first preseason game, something we were all excited about. And I think Mother Nature said, hold on, folks, just a little bit on this one. I was out on the East Coast. I was in the Washington, D.C. area, and I think it was Tropical Storm Debbie at that point, had moved up the coast. The New York, New Jersey area was not spared with rain, so that makes it negatively impacting for those offenses to try and do all the things they want to do. That may have impacted those offenses early on in the game. We saw lots of three and outs. We will get to some of the injuries in just a minute on that. But let's just start with what we noticed on the offense. James, let's start with you and the offense. What's something you notice out there with the Lions?
Well, I think the one thing I tweeted, I think, during the game was that if you need to appreciate Jared Goff at quarterback, all you need to do is watch Nate Sudfeld. But also you have to look at that he was playing with a backup offensive line, a patchwork offensive line, and basically none of the starting lineup on offense or defense for the Lions playing along with him. So it's a little hard to completely grade him, but he did not look very good. And, you know, they signed another quarterback just today. So the offense kind of sputtered a little bit. There were some good performances though. I thought Sione Vaki looked good at running back. And Hendon Hooker looked very good before he left. The offensive line did not look good as a whole. That's something I think that they really got to work on. I mean, Manu just seemed outclassed in his first game. Colby Sorsdahl and Kingsley Eguakon also both struggled. Nobody really kind of stood out on the offensive line. A guy that looked pretty decent was Isaiah Williams in the times that they gave him the ball, and Parker Hesse at tight end looked like a pretty solid guy who played a lot on special teams.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. I heard some great things about Parker Hesse, and that's encouraging, especially because he's got a little bit of experience. Coach, how about you on the offense? What was jumping out to you on that?
Yeah. Hesse, I noticed him line up at fullback, and that's a big dude. I think he used to be a linebacker, didn't he? Wasn't he a linebacker at 1.2 or played the other side of the ball or something? I don't know. Maybe I'm putting too many notes together. Clemens played well offensive line wise. He graded out extremely high. He there was a lot of positives to him. I know that Sewell gave him a nickname, Ness the Mess or Mess, something like that today. And then, you know, Galvin, I watched a couple. He took one guy all the way out of bounds. And then, of course, he's got a season-ending injury. So, you know, those were some of the things that I, you know, noticed, just picked up and went, wow, that looked pretty good. Oh, that looked good. But, you know, like James said, I don't think the receivers were getting open quick enough. I don't think he was making his reads quick enough. You know, the weather had a lot to do with it. But we couldn't put two plays together. You know, we'd get a 7-8 yard run, and then we'd get a sack or an incomplete or something. So, you know, we did go for it a lot of, you know, 3, 4, 5 times on fourth down in certain situations, which, you know, he was putting them in, you know, situations to see if that was going to work out through the season. Again, it's a preseason game. It's for practice. You know, I think they got enough stuff tape wise and almost can come up with the 53-man roster pretty close right now by what they've seen. And hey, the biggest growth is between week one and week two. So the guys that showed well need to stack some days, and the guys that didn't show well better hope that they do, or they're going to be on the waiver wire. So, but that's kind of what, you know, my take on the offense was.
Yeah, those things make a lot of sense, because like you guys said, it's not the overall performance. It's individual things and obviously working together as a team, but you're looking at, are certain guys elevating or are they staying stagnant? And again, that 5 to 10 days included where we are right now. And that payoff, coach, might be the Kansas City game. Have people taken what they've experienced against the Giants and then applied it to practice? Now, I think one of the things that stuck out to me was the lack of elevation from the wide receiver 3 position. And there's a lot of variables that go into this, but Darius Fountain, Antoine Green, Donovan Peoples-Jones are all guys that people were looking to see elevate. Now, let me ask you this. The weather versus the play. The weather impacted things. Did the quarterback play affect the wide receiver's performance? Or was it simply the wide receivers couldn't get open? Was it a combination of things? Coach, let's start with you on this. And what are your thoughts? Did these wide receivers not make as much progress as we needed them to? I know Antoine Green had an injury and had very short playing time. Or was it the fact that Nate Sudfeld was not making some of the decisions that Dan Campbell wanted him to make and that impacted him? Or was it the weather, or was it a combination of everything?
Well, I mean, you have to play over the weather. I mean, you can't use that, you know, as an excuse. You know, I know Nate, some of the things I read that Campbell said was, you know, he wasn't making quick enough decisions. You know, he made that one great pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones. You know, Williams, he made that, little short pass to Williams, and Williams made a great play to get a first down. Just showed that Williams. And again, you know, James brought it up. Williams showed out, and he showed out and made plays in situations and had to, but Sudfeld didn't do it. Now, Sudfeld came back after Hooker was hurt, and he played better. He played better in the second half. I don't think he was going to get that opportunity, but, you know, what showed me on that was the guy was done, probably done at halftime. Hooker gets hurt. He has to come back in, and he rose to the occasion. I mean, he played a lot better in the second half than he did in the first half. That's for sure. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that get added. You're going to complete a lot of passes when St. Brown's running routes for you. But who wants to be the third receiver? That's who should have stood up.
James, how about you? What are your thoughts on that? Thank you, coach.
Yep. Yeah, I think Isaiah Williams did make a good case for himself, you know, and being like an Amon-Ra St. Brown, a poor man's version of Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot. I think he's the insurance policy for him. So I like that. The other thing too is that it's the New York Giants stadium. It's known as the worst turf in the NFL, probably, as far as the AstroTurf fields. And I think players probably came into that game with a little bit of worried about that too. You know, I mean, they saw Aaron Rodgers only last 4 plays on that turf last year. That probably was in the back of some guy's heads.
Yeah.
Especially with rain on top of it.
Well, staying with the quarterback part right there, Hendon Hooker, that's the guy everybody wanted to see. And we got to see him, but it was very limited action. I think the limited action we did see, though, was promising. I think we may have seen some of the most potential in a Lions backup quarterback in a long time, not counting last year's 1-year contract with Teddy Bridgewater. But Hendon Hooker didn't get to play as much because of injury, and he showed promise. So my question for you guys, and again, we don't know the extent of the Hendon Hooker injury. He is one of the players that was injured in the game. He did not practice this weekend. He did not practice on Monday. He's not expected to be ready likely for the next game. And due to that, the Lions did bring in Jake Fromm. They signed a quarterback, which we'll get to. But here's my question for you guys is, Nate Sudfeld is the guy right now at number 2 with Hendon at number 3. I think we all, A, just want Jared Goff to be durable and take every snap this season. But B, going into the season, the plan, they brought Teddy Bridgewater in last year for multiple reasons, one of which they knew Teddy or Hendon Hooker wouldn't be ready. If Hendon Hooker's injury is a longer-term thing that's going to slow down his preseason opportunities, are you comfortable with Nate Sudfeld being the number two quarterback, or are you thinking we need Hendon to be the number two to be comfortable going into the season? James, let's start with you.
Oh, I think the Lions won't be very happy if they go into the season with Nate Sudfeld as their backup quarterback. I think the plan for him was to be on the practice squad and to be their emergency third quarterback and be there to mentor Hendon Hooker and Hooker to be your number two guy. And, you know, I mean, the injury that Hooker had was a concussion. So it's, you know, it's probably not a long-term thing, but he probably is not going to play this week. And so they're going to have to go with Sudfeld and Fromm. The guy that they just signed, you know, a fifth round pick a few years ago out of Georgia. So he's not a guy that's too old or anything like that, but he's got some experience. He's played in three games in the NFL and, you know, so at least gives them some capable arms for the game. And then, gives them the ability to maybe address, or look at some of those wide receivers a little bit more if they have, competent arms throwing the ball to him. What we saw of Hendon Hooker though was great. You know, we saw the mobility that he was supposed to have. We saw the arm strength. He was able to diagnose plays pretty decently, I think, for a guy playing in his first game in the NFL. The one thing he didn't diagnose was sliding when he should have, and that's what got him the concussion.
That makes a lot of sense. And coach, let me have you weigh in on this. Hendon Hooker, these are some very valuable snaps. He's not getting the snaps in practice this week. He only got to play part of a quarter of a game. He is losing valuable time that Jameson Williams lost last year when he hurt his hamstring. Can the Lions go in to the regular season with Hendon Hooker as their guy and put Nate Sudfeld on the practice squad if Hendon doesn't play much more? Or do you need to see more growth from Hendon? Or how do you evaluate the situation, coach?
Well, Sudfeld, first of all, we're going to see what he does this week. You know, there's panic in that coaching room right now. There's no doubt about it. It's brought up. It's on the board. It's what are we going to do? And I think that's one of the things is how he shows this week. And I think the Hendon Hooker thing is going to come back and free three. And he's probably going to play maybe three quarters if he's able to do it, you know? So, yeah, this hurts him. I mean, it's – J-Mo had that happen to him last year. You know, he got hurt, you know, pulled his hamstring and didn't get all his practices. And then when he was back off the suspension, you know, it took him a while to get his feet underneath. So I think the biggest thing is with Hooker is something we don't think about. The Lions elevated him to the 53-man roster during the season last year, even though they knew he wasn't going to play. Do you guys remember that?
I do.
And that reason was so that he could have these reps during these practices. So I think he's a little bit ahead of J-Mo in that instance. And I think that's a positive thing. Again, this week is going to determine a ton. You know, I really think if Sudfeld comes out and plays pretty well, then, you know, they're going to feel pretty good about it. I don't believe, and James said it, and I'm going to agree with him on this. I don't believe they feel Sudfeld is going to be their number two. And if he's not going to be their number two, and Hooker's, there's some question marks on Hooker, they're going to have to spend some of that cap money they still have.
Yeah, that'll be real interesting to watch. I definitely think the health of Hendon Hooker will determine all of this. Because if he can get healthy and is healthy by Saturday or Sunday, even though he doesn't play, and he's able to take reps in practice next week, and he's able to play in that final game against Pittsburgh and play like three quarters and get to a level where the coaching staff feels comfortable, I think then they're in a great spot. If he doesn't quite get to that level though, I don't think Lions fans have to totally stress about this just yet for a couple of reasons. One, I did a lot of looking at a lot of rosters out there. There are moves that could be made later in the season if need be. You don't have to panic right now. We don't have to sign Ryan Tannehill tomorrow. You got to wait and see because Hendon Hooker still has that chance to be the guy they want him to be, even if he's going to miss some time right here. And so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And Hendon Hooker's not being counted on to start football games the way the Lions were hoping Jameson Williams might last year, right? And so that also does change the dynamic of this. Guys, let's move to running back, okay? Just from the game, you guys already talked about that. We know Monty and Gibbs didn't play. Vaki showed a little bit, had a couple nice plays. We know how solid Craig Reynolds is. Coach, we talked about how Dan Campbell complimented Jamar Jefferson before, during a previous press conference. Zonovan Knight got in the game. They've got a lot of guys here. I have a feeling at least one of these guys is not going to be on our roster. Maybe only one of these guys. It all depends on how things go, and we'll talk about more things from today. But it's encouraging to see the Lions have a lot of guys in that running back room right now. Who are you guys looking at for the 3-4 spot? Are there any guys jumping out to you for that spot? I think we all know Sione Vaki is going to be there. He was just drafted this year. But with Reynolds, Zonovan Knight, Jamar Jefferson, coach, is there one of those guys that you're seeing kind of jump out at you between those three?
No, I think, you know, I mean, Reynolds is a lock. The guy's, he does everything right. I mean, he freaking had a, you know, big run, whatever. He just does everything right. He does everything they need him. Vaki, again, I think is going to be a special teams guy for him. He's going to help him out there. I think that's, we even talked about when they drafted him. Jefferson could be the odd man out, and, you know, can he make it to our practice squad, which is probably what they're going to do. But again, you know, what happens with him and Knight this week, and then going into the third week again, there's so much practice time and evaluation time left that we're going to have to see. And it's going to be the guy who stacks the most days. It's going to come down to, he played well, 23 out of 25 practices, and he only did 22. They're going to keep the guy at the 23. So I just think I think it's just another one of those. Our run game didn't go so well the other night, which hurt. So we didn't see it, but everybody kind of did their part to show that they belong. So.
Thanks, coach. That makes a lot of sense. James, how about you? Is there somebody you've got your eye on, or how are you feeling about those three guys?
I think Jefferson is probably the last of those guys right now, and has to really make up some ground. I mean, the few carries that he got in that game, weren't great, and didn't end up with great runs or anything. Reynolds has his role, and I think hit the fourth running back spot, if they keep four running backs, is probably his to lose. So Zonovan Knight's going to have to jump past Reynolds too. I think you could see them keep two running backs on the practice squad. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility, especially because of Knight's return skill. If they, have an injury to, say, Isaiah Williams, who's their returner for a decent part of the game, you need another guy who can do that, and maybe have a Knight on the practice squad as your insurance policy for that.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's the thing, that practice squad does create a little extra flexibility with that position. Special teams, let's make one comment here. Jake Bates had one field goal attempt, 53 yards, I believe, in the game outdoors. He made it. We'll get more to him later. Let's move over to defense, though. Enos and Arnold looked good early on to me, man. I mean, they played early. They made some good stops early. You saw three and outs. The Lions defense secondary looked pretty good. With the Emmanuel Mosley injury, I'm wondering, if Enos Rakestraw was looking to make a push for that starting nickel position. Let's just start with some things you guys saw during the game. Coach, any takeaways you had from the defense that you saw during the Lions-Giants game?
Well, Lynn played well. He did some good things. I thought Akuda did some good things, but that is such a huge, huge group, huge room to break into that rush and stuff. You know, Houston was limited because he got injured. I'm going to say this, Wingo. He is going to be a stud. That dude just does things well. He rushes the quarterback well. He keeps his lanes well. He turns. This is one play that I remember. I think it was the screen play. He read it. He saw it. He turned his hip. He flipped his hip so quick and was down the line of scrimmage on the right angle. If the running back cuts back, the running back is probably out for the season. So I'm extremely excited about him. The Gilbert kid, he looked great. You know, at linebacker, he's flying around. All the backers. And again, that is a jammed room too. You know, so your linebacker and DM position, you're going to have to really, really do some big things to stick around with that. But Wingo was the one that I really was excited to watch play and watch the things. And Martin did some good stuff too. You can see that he's a lot quicker than he was last year. But I think Wingo's definitely going to help our interior D-line or outside. He can play three technique, whatever. I mean, he can play all over the place. So short, undersized, underweight. Those are Aaron Donald. That's all I'm saying.
I'm thinking you may have just found your new favorite player on the active roster to, you know, the guy that's been discounted out, and you're like, dude, those are the guys you love, coach. And can't wait to see what he does in the KC game. I love those observations. James, how about you? Any guys that stuck out, any things you saw on the defense that you liked?
Yeah. Broderick Martin looked really, he looked the part. You know, he had the preseason hype coming into the game, and he actually lived up to it in the preseason game. He was able to disrupt. He was able to get into the lanes. He was able to disengage from blockers and make tackles. You know, if he can be that in the regular season, the Lions have themselves a really good defensive tackle rotation. Nay Lynn had a couple of nice flash plays. Then he later got hurt and is probably out for the season with an injury. Uku was the other defensive end who I think he made a couple of flash plays. And then the other thing that was interesting about the defense is that James Houston was MIA. He didn't play a whole lot of snaps. And when he was out there, he didn't really do anything. And then it was the same thing with Matthew Betts. Was surprisingly, only played 7 snaps. You know, the rest of the edges, like Lynn and Uku and Houston, they're the guys who are on the bubble to make the roster. They all got 20 snaps, and Betts only got 7, which is unusual. I guess that indicates that he's either maybe genuinely behind the rest of those guys in that battle to make the team, or maybe they're trying to hide him and sneak him through to the practice squad.
Going on that, I agree. That's what I read that on there too. And Lynn pretty much is out for the year, or not, you know, he's on IR. But Houston, I read today, I don't know if you guys saw it, Dan Campbell just said, Houston is going to set the edge and rush the quarterback. So his linebacker, and I think he got hurt early with that knee bruise. Cause I thought after he lined up offsides, James, I didn't see him after that. I don't know if you noticed that. I was like, I kept looking for him and I'm going, oh my God, it's Houston in the doghouse now. But then I read that he had a bruised knee. So maybe they just happened to be simultaneously close to the same time.
Yeah, that could be. I missed the first drive of the game while I was trying to find the game too, where we were at. So I didn't see the first defensive drive. But yeah. And then the other guy on defense who, aside from the secondary, I guess we'll get to the secondary later, but the other guy who stood out for defense to me was Malik Jefferson, another one of the linebackers. And I think that he put himself in there to where if the Lions keep a 6th linebacker, he's definitely going to be in that mix. He's, you know, a high draft pick a couple years ago and hasn't panned out, but the athletic traits are definitely, definitely there. He also played a lot on their special teams units, where they played a lot of linebackers in the new look kickoff returns this year. Interestingly, Jalen Reeves-Maybin didn't play any special team snaps whatsoever. So I think they were grading these other guys to see how well they can do on special teams as well, because we all know what Reeves-Maybin can do there.
That makes a lot of sense. And going into those injuries a little bit, that there were multiple injuries that did happen during that game. We talked about Hendon Hooker having a concussion. Antoine Green got a hit, got checked for a concussion, a possible neck injury. Defensive lineman David Bata, he was looking good. He has an Achilles injury. Coach, you talked about offensive tackle Connor Galvin earlier. He tore his MCL. So those are a couple of guys that might have been able to contribute. Nate Lynn as well. Those guys are all out for the foreseeable future. James Houston, you talked about it. He did have that knee bruise that probably limited him. And yes, today Coach Campbell talked about kind of bringing him back to what he did his rookie year, taking some of that linebacker stuff off his plate. And that might make him a little bit more effective and speed his game back up by playing back in that natural position. And coach, as you talked about, some of the depth they did accumulate in that linebacking room might allow them to make that.
Him trying to learn a new position, you know, him trying to play that outside linebacker spot when I think he just wants to put his hand in the dirt or on the turf in our case and pin his ears back and go find a quarterback or set an edge. And, you know, so that may be it, that the pass dropping stuff, maybe that was slowing him down. So I'm happy. I'm happy that he lined up there and let's see if he just carries through a whole season, he'll have at least 16 sacks. So I like that.
Yeah. And to kind of piggyback off that a little bit too, I'm wondering if they made a little tweak to the defense because they also seem to have kind of given up the ghost on Matthew Betts playing the Sam linebacker spot as well and just said, okay, concentrate on being a defensive end, kind of like Houston. So I'm wondering if Aaron Glenn come up with something and it was like, okay, we don't need these guys to play the Sam spot because we have some other guys, or we're just maybe not going to use that in that role as much. And one interesting thing is that their other long snapper who played most of the game, Hogan Hatton, played linebacker in the second half, like played a few snaps at linebacker, which is interesting because he played linebacker a lot in college before becoming a full-time long snapper.
Yeah, you don't hear about that happening very often, that's for sure. Well, guys, I want to take us over to the kicking position a minute, going from long snapper to kicking. And I want to just kind of share something with you. And coach, especially, I want your thoughts on the end, but James would love you to weigh in too. So Jake Bates is a kicker, right? Obviously, Michael Badgley got hurt. The Lions have not brought anybody in. Everyone has said they're going to bring somebody in. Riley Patterson gets released. The Lions never put a waiver claim in on him. He goes to Washington. Washington would have gotten him anyway, but the Lions didn't even claim, didn't even try. James Turner gets released. Nobody claims him. So the question is, well, the Lions trying to just build him up, see this approach works. You know, Campbell did say small gains of confidence build, and they told him they're going to stick with him after practices and before that game. And in that game, he hit a 53-yard field goal. And then in practice on Sunday, in a situational moment, he hit a 64-yarder. And according to Detroit Sports Podcast, on Monday's practice, he was good from 34, 39, and 42. And he looked good on all those. So there's hope. There is hope. And I want to give this perfect, I think it's a perfect analogy. I attended the University of Maryland as an undergraduate. And in 2001, the Maryland Terrapins won the ACC in football. And they had a guy named Nick Novak as their kicker. Now, let me tell you about this guy. Early that season, he was struggling. Coach, he missed 5 of his first 7 field goals, and he missed an extra point in that stretch, okay? People were joking around that they needed to find a soccer player, actually, from the university, because they had a good soccer program, to maybe come in and be their kicker. And he did all that while the team won like their first 3 games, and he looked like the weakest link on the team. Fans, students, everybody was stressing. But you got to give the coach, Ralph Friedgen, some credit. He stuck with him. And then on a nationally televised game against Georgia Tech, the Terps were running out of time. I still remember watching this kick to this day. They got to he lined up for a 51-yard field goal to tie the game as time was expiring. I mean, this is a guy who'd missed 5 of his first 7 field goals and an extra point. He makes it. He booted it. He hit it. And then in overtime, he hit another field goal, and the Terps won that game. Now, that kick, I think, changed the trajectory of Nick Novak. Now, it didn't put him in the Hall of Fame, Coach, okay, James? He didn't become a Hall of Famer, but it changed his trajectory. He would go 11 of 13 the rest of the way that season as the Terps went on to win the ACC and go to the Orange Bowl. After that, he becomes a 2-time first all-ACC team member. He becomes the ACC all-time leading scorer in 2004, and he was 5th in the NCAA in all-time scoring when he graduated. Now, he's been passed in subsequent years. Nick Novak also had a 10-year NFL career. This is after missing 5 of his first 7 and an extra point. So I just got to believe that one kick, that confidence in the coaching all that thing, I believe, is what a coach can do to build confidence in a player. And maybe something like that can happen with Jake Bates. Coach, talk to me about that. Is that a possibility? Do you see stuff like that? Does that make sense?
Oh, there's no doubt. This is what we have right now. This is the hand that's dealt us. This is what's out there. This is what we got to kick. We brought him in for a reason because he's got a great leg. He missed some kicks at the end of the year with the Panthers and stuff like that. But he kicked that 60-yarder. He kicked the 60-yarder. It made it, and there was a timeout called, and he went back and banged it anyways after the timeout when they tried to freeze him. So there's something with that guy. How many times, how many kicks has he made in a football game in his career? Right? How long has he been kicking? So there, build the confidence up. Let him roll with it. Let's see what he can do. Let's show him, hey, you are our guy, dude. Badgley's gone. You are our guy. If we bring in another kicker to push him again, where are they going to put him? Back to your guy? Miss 5 out of 7? Or are these going to keep kicking him? He kicks a 64-yarder yesterday in a situation when it was a under a minute situation, down 3. He tied the game up at 64 yards. And so that's the thing is I think that's Dan Campbell. That's great coaching. I'm sorry. That's great coaching. Don't throw away the pieces you have because that piece may be the one that fits in the puzzle. And so I think that's great. Now, hey, if he misses 5 in the next preseason game and 5 in the next preseason game, they're probably going to get rid of him. But I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to keep going. And it's Dan Campbell's doing things that other people don't do as head football coaches in the NFL. Give a guy a damn chance to prove himself. God bless you, Dan Campbell. He's gonna win a football game for you. I'm telling you right now.
Thank you, Coach. And James, you know, what do you think about that? The Lions, everybody was screaming, especially after those practices, you got to bring somebody in. But this kind of seems to be the Lions' MO. And it's like, hey, we're going to build our guys up and give them every opportunity to succeed longer rather than shorter. What are your thoughts on this? And are you comfortable if the Lions don't bring anybody in? Or does that depend on certain things? What are your thoughts?
I think that obviously he had to have shown them enough before they, you know, before Batsy got hurt, before they let Turner go, you know, that he was capable of being the guy. And like Jerry said, maybe some of it just needs to be mental. And the coach has given him this push and this support, I think, can be definitely part of that. I mean, you know, I hadn't seen him live, I guess, you know, because in the UFL, I hadn't watched any of those games live or anything like that. So when he kicked that 53-yarder, against the Giants, I was like, man, he has a serious leg on him. But his motion is a little different too. I mean, the way he whips his body through the kicking motion and everything like that, he can really generate a lot of power on that. And he can just be another weapon for that offense.
I'm wondering about this, and Coach, I want you to weigh in. The confidence factor. I know confidence matters for like every position, right? The more confident you are, the better you play. And that is probably a very obvious thing with a defensive back. I think it probably is with a quarterback and probably with a kicker, because you got that mental part of the game, right? Like, you know, I know some of the guys that have played for you that they might have a bad game and throw 2 interceptions or 3 interceptions, but then they throw a long touchdown pass. And what do they focus on? They focus on the touchdown pass they throw because they forgot the interceptions. They moved on to the next thing. And I got to believe that might be the case with the kicking situation. And so how big of a role is that confidence? And how does it, you think that makes the player feel when Campbell doesn't bring in automatically another kicker? They're like, listen, this is your job. Because Campbell always says that, right? Receivers, we want someone to step up and take this. He's trying to give Jake Bates every opportunity. How are you liking this approach versus bringing somebody else in?
Oh, I totally agree with it. And I like it. I think you build them up. This is what's in front of us. This is what, and you know, James made a great point on, he's already shown what he can do in certain situations. We're not at every practice. You know, we reading the thing, oh, he missed 5 of 6 today. And then the guy comes back and says, oh, I'm sorry, he's only 4 of 6. Things like that. What different situations do they put him in? You know, the key is the Giants game, the field is wet. He's 53 yards out, and like James said, he pounded that ball. I don't know where that ball would have went from. And you look at that, and you're going, okay, there's the confidence. And then him kicking that one yesterday, they're going to build up. Is he going to miss something maybe down the road? Yeah. And what are we going to say? Oh, get rid of him, fire him, cut him. but you can't. I had a kicker in 2019, Brady McDonough. Okay, nervous, didn't want it, was a soccer player. I talked him into being our kicker. And you know what? He kicked the field goal to beat Montague. And I'm going to keep bringing that up, but he kicked the field goal. He kicked the extra point to win the game, to go to Ford Field. And a kid that was as nervous as anybody I'd ever seen, but he knew that his teammates and his coaches had confidence in him. And he said, I'm not going to let them down. And that's what's happening with Bates. He's not going to let his teammates down, nor Coach Campbell.
That's awesome perspective and exciting and great, great story right there with Brady as well. And just what you can get out of your players when coached and the right way. And again, I still go back to that kick at Maryland. Like, I just was like, I want the guy to just get a chance, whether he makes it or doesn't, get him a chance. And he got the chance and he seized it. And that's what players do, right? They seize the opportunity and when given to it. And that's the thing you say, good things come to those who prepare for them, right? Luck happens when you've done the work to put yourself in that position. And so I think everybody on in this room here is rooting for Jake Bates. We have been since they signed him. I think all the fans are. And I hope this continues because there would be nothing better than for him to evolve into the Lions starting kicker and give us consistency at that spot. So we will have to watch. We will have to see what becomes of this and how it turns out. But that's just a little bit of history on kicking, and at least from one college player's experience. Let's move to today's news, guys. Lots of stuff came out on Monday. I think one of the more surprising things was the first thing the Lions announced was they released wide receiver Antoine Green, 7th-round pick, I believe it was, from last year. He had that vicious hit we talked about. I believe multiple doctors looked at his neck. Were you surprised by this release?
I was a little surprised because, I mean, at the time of the injury, it looked like it might be a concussion, and it didn't look like it was going to be much else than that. It didn't seem to be anything physical with him or anything, you know. It was a pretty big hit. I mean, he was going in on a run play to block a safety who was coming down in the box, and the safety just lit him up, lowered his shoulder and got it right in his chin, and hit him right to the ground. It was a little surprising to see that he got released this morning. I think there must be something more medically to it. Like you said, maybe there's something with the neck or anything like that. And with the wave injured, you know, they give him some money, and he also becomes a free agent, but he re-signed with the team as soon as he's healthy again.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's something a lot of people might not realize is this doesn't mean he might not be a Detroit Lion again in the future. It simply means right now he's probably not going to be eligible or able to play in the near future. So they're going to have him heal up. He'll be a free agent if nobody claims him off waivers. And then at that point, the Lions could bring him back. They could sign him to the practice squad once he gets healthy and whatnot. It's a guy we were hoping might elevate into the starting position. Coach, with this removal of a person from the wide receiver room, what does this do for the rest of the receivers? And one other little nugget that Coach Campbell dropped was, he said the Lions have had two practices since that New York Giants game. And Coach Campbell said Donovan Peoples-Jones has looked improved. And I'm not trying to, I'm grasping at straws here because we just want Donovan Peoples-Jones to elevate. But what do you think you're going to see from some of the other receivers in that room? And what are you hoping for?
Well, I one thing is, and we just talked about it with the kicking situation, you have your room set. You don't want to bring somebody in to tell everybody else, you're not good enough to play here. You know, Dan Campbell is like you, and you said it, James said it, we've been saying it all along. He's got a room and he says, somebody has to step up. Somebody has to step up. Somebody has to step up. And I think he's going to give you so many strikes. And if you're not stepping up, I'm going to bring somebody in then if you guys aren't going to do it. So there's some guys out there that they could possibly go get if they have to. Within the room, I think it's what it does for your room, especially the receiving room right now is, hey guys, we are one play away from ending all this, whether that's what's, you know, we're one play away from being hurt. We're one play away from missing a season. You're one play away from being a starter. And so I think it'll make the room rise a little bit. I think Peoples-Jones had that catch in the game. I think they tried to throw him a jump ball early in the end zone in the preseason game. I don't know if you guys saw that. Kind of was overthrown. He tried to go up and one hand it, but he had that thing, and I think that's one of the things that he's been told: you have to work, you have to work, you have to work, you have to work. And I think he's realizing I better start working, because if not, I'm going to be out of a job. And so, I think it's going to help him. I feel bad for Green. Hopefully, knock on wood. Hopefully it's not the injury as much as he's on the bottom of the depth chart right now. And, you know, why did they not throw him in the IR? You know, that's the other thing. So, hopefully it's all good news with his health.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, he is a guy that earlier in the offseason people were hoping might elevate. We knew he was a project, a guy that they were going to coach up when they drafted him late last year. And hopefully we can get him back to the practice squad later this season.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lions had practice today, and unfortunately we have some more frustrating news come out of that. Jahmyr Gibbs left Monday's practice early due to a hamstring injury. Enos Rakestraw, he left early after sustaining an ankle injury, according to Kyle Meinke of M Live. And another injury to the defensive back, which was Terrion Arnold, and that appeared to be an upper body injury. And again, that seems to be according to Kyle Meinke, those of M Live as well. So, Coach, let's have you react to that. I mean, obviously, we've said from the beginning, number one thing about preseason, training camp, all that is we want no injuries for anybody. And we had injuries over the weekend, and now we've got some more injuries.
Oh, it's bad. You know, and it's funny, the first thing I thought about is, why did they switch the practice schedule? And I'll guarantee Coach Campbell and them are saying that. It's, you know, you get into these routine things. Again, that's not the reason, but us as coaches, that's what we think. You know, it's just bad. It's just, bad timing. I know they've been going at it. You know, hopefully none of the injuries are IR injury types. And I think that's one of the things. I think, again, these injuries will refocus the team to get through these practices, realizing that at any minute something can go wrong. So make sure you're competing and doing everything you can 100%. Make sure you're eating right, you know, sleeping right, you know, drinking right, staying healthy, the whole thing. And so I think it's just another one of those things that we as fans, those things were popping on my phone and my night got really bad. I knew we were doing the podcast, which would pick me up, but anytime our Lions or Honolulu Blue Boys get hurt, we know there's a problem and concern. So hopefully good news tomorrow on all of them. And again, there's a lot of guys missing practice today too. I don't know if you saw that report. So hopefully it's rest, practice, nagging injury, things like that. But I think the Lions do a great job of gearing down to keep people healthy and putting people on the shelf so that they can get healthy and not go back out there and try to prove themselves some more.
I'm thinking, as I look at this, Arnold and Rakestraw, first off, let's just say, we don't know how severe any of these injuries are. They could be minor. They could be major. They could be somewhere in between. So we'll have to wait to see that out. The big thing is Arnold and Rakestraw could probably use those reps a little more than Gibbs, just because they're A, rookies, and B, there's a lot of new moving parts in that defensive secondary. James, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, again, we don't know the severity of that, but how does this impact the roster? Maybe the secondary is as the most important.
Yeah, I was looking at some online message boards and stuff like that, and a fan who was there said that that they didn't look too serious, that they both left the thing, but Rakestraw tried to actually come back to practice, but they told him no. and everything. So hopefully we get good news on that maybe tomorrow. The two DB injuries are not serious. With Gibbs, it's a bit of a worry because, I mean, this is the second time that he's tweaked that hamstring this offseason. You know, he had one earlier in the offseason, you know, before actually team activity started, I think. So tweaking it again, you know, maybe that starts to become a problem. You hope not. And I'm going to guess that they're pretty much just going to shut him down for the rest of the preseason and let that heal and be good for game one, maybe even miss a game or two if they're going to be really cautious about it.
Yeah, because all these guys are important people, right? I mean, Gibbs plays a very important role. Arnold and Rakestraw call that area important because they're rookies and there's so many moving parts in the secondary, but they're all very important elements of this team. And so we'll just have to wait and see what that news is that comes out. The Lions are scheduled to have a team scrimmage on Wednesday before traveling out to Kansas City for preseason game two. Let's go. It's a preseason game, but let's talk about what are we looking for? You know, I think the Lions are going to get some more reps for a lot of players. There's talk about the starters maybe getting a series or two, but maybe not. Kansas City often does that. A lot of other teams did. Coach Campbell was non-committal about that. I think he wanted to see how they looked at the Wednesday thing. Coach, I know you've been doing some work ahead of time to look at teams and start analyzing some things. So let's start with you. What are you looking for in the Kansas City preseason game coming up on Saturday?
Well, I think, again, some more of those depth pieces and some more of those guys that played well on Saturday against the Giants, that they stack another preseason game. Again, positive growth. The guys that didn't play so well, hopefully they step up and learn from their mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing. And that we move the ball. You know, Sudfeld gets in there and gets the job done, and one or two of those receivers step up and do what they're supposed to do. And somebody kind of take hold of the second team and third team positions that we need be, so that we don't have to break up that locker room and go out and pull somebody off free agency and go and win with the team that they've put together, for the season through draft and free agency. So again, hopefully some of those guys that are down with injuries are getting to come back. I see that sounds like the BC Mahogany. Sounds like he's in the building and sounds like he's going to start practicing sometime this week. So that'll be good to see too, because we definitely need some more depth on that O-line.
Yeah, we hadn't mentioned that yet. I love the fact that, you know, Christian Mahogany, who I believe is on the NFI list, is back in the building and will hopefully start resuming some of those activities. And Coach, the other part you bring up so well is, you know, a lot of fans, a lot of people, even media pundits are like, hey, somebody gets hurt, who do the Lions bring in to replace them? Well, as you already said, the GM, the coaches, they build the room, the team. And because one guy does go down, you don't want to automatically presume that, it sends a message to the rest of the team that, oh, well, you other three guys in the room aren't good enough to step up to this. We're going to go bring somebody else in. You want to give all those guys that opportunity to elevate. And so hopefully we'll see some of that during the Kansas City game. James, what are you looking for? What are you thinking about this next preseason game against Kansas City, hopefully with some good weather?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game, and because of Andy Reid, I think, he's kind of a different animal as far as NFL coaches. He does not like the joint practices, and so he doesn't do joint practices with the teams, and to make up for that, he plays his starters in preseason games. Not the whole game, obviously, but he'll play the starters for a series or two, probably this week, maybe even more. Patrick Mahomes played last week for them. So they were one of the few teams, I think, in the whole league that went in with their presumptive week one starter that wasn't a rookie playing. It could be that they play their starters quite a bit more than the Lions. I wouldn't be surprised maybe if you see the Lions play one series or so with the actual starters on offense. To give Goff some work, especially because you don't have Hooker available, to maybe have Goff play one series and then that's probably it. And then the rest of the game, you're going to go with Sudfeld and maybe play Fromm a little bit at the end.
That makes a lot of sense. And again, Coach Campbell said he'll see how the scrimmage goes and see if the guys need more work. But folks, preseason's going to be done and gone before you know it. It's going to be game time. August 27th is roster cutdown day. So that's a big day. There's not a lot of time between now and then. Players going to be working hard to elevate, and hopefully we'll see some of those examples on Saturday when the Lions take on the Chiefs. Coach, thanks so much for joining the show and sharing all the insights and doing everything that you do.
All right. Thanks for having me again, Matt. Appreciate it.
James, thanks for being here with us as well.
Thanks as always, man.
And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.